It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. Sometimes it can feel like it is exhausting to continually try to strive for more and better, especially when it comes to work and life, which is why today I have Kathy Onetto, who is a work strategist, on to help us talk about what it means to have sustainable ambition. Now, Kathy is has expanded this concept of sustainable ambition to both a podcast and a new book called Sustainable Ambition, How to Prioritize What Matters to Thrive in Life and Work. Kathy, welcome to Great Mondays Radio. Thanks for coming on.
Of course, Josh. I'm so happy to be here.
You kind of have this thing about like work-life balance is bullshit, I guess. Maybe you don't say, I said that. I don't know if that's what you would say, but that's how I interpret how you're kind of coming across. Let's start with that. What is that like? Where did that come from for you? How did you kind of come to that conclusion? Because I feel like we all, I mean, this is something that I've thought about a lot, which is, you know, it's like, how do I balance the two? It's a balance. And that's what we've talked about for a long, long time. How did you come to this antithetical conclusion or opinion?
Yes. Well, let me just say that it's not as if I don't want for everyone, for all of us to have what we desire when we use this term work-life balance, right? Which is to, you know, honestly, I would say instead have life work sustainability. And so, you know, the problem that I find with the term work-life balance is that it sets these expectations that I think makes it elusive. And it also is a term that doesn't really actually guide us to actually achieve what we want. And so what I mean by that is like some of the expectations that that term sets are things like, you know, these should be in equilibrium. Work and life are always in equilibrium, and also that they are equal. You know, it's 50-50. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just not real. And especially in today's world, you know, our lives are dynamic and things are changing, and one is typically taking more attention than the other. It also starts to set this expectation that there should be hard boundaries between life and work. And that's also unrealistic, especially in terms of how we like to live and work today. And the other thing that I don't like, honestly, like our words matter, and the fact that we put work first also bothers me, because work doesn't necessarily come first. Work is integrated. It's really fits into the vessel of our life. And so I think we need to be thoughtful about the words that we choose. And as I said, this term doesn't really guide us to what we're really challenged by, which is, how do I work toward all the things that I want to have in my life, inclusive of work? And how do I make these choices when I'm running into conflicts across all of them? And that's what I was really trying to address in the book.
How do we make these choices when we run into all these conflicts? So let's start to get into this. What conflicts are you thinking about? I'm sure everybody here can go, oh, I have a list. But what are we talking about, just as a way of entering into this conversation?
Yeah, that's great. So I think that, you know, oftentimes when this comes to a head where people really get to an inflection point, a couple of different things are happening. One is we might be going through a change. We get to this point where we're like, huh, I don't know if what I've been pursuing is what I want anymore. And that can happen for a number of different reasons. Or we've had some shift that has happened either in our life or in our work, and it's making us question our choices, you know, and sometimes those two are related, right? And the third is we just continue to run up into capacity constraints. And so there's this friction that we're feeling. And so again, those are the conflicts that I'm trying to help people kind of give them an approach as opposed to just kind of saying, keep on striving for that elusive myth out there, this, you know, mirage that's out there, this work-life balance. So trying to give people a structure to kind of essentially evaluate and kind of guide their, how they're applying their time and their effort.
A mirage that does feel appropriate in this appropriate metaphor. Like, what are we trying to get to? Right. It's like, oh, I don't know, posting all the time and getting attention. It's the attention economy. The, you know, it's like our inboxes are infinite. Right. And time is not, our posting is infinite. You know, it's like there's always going to be more. We're always going to want more. We're always trying to like outdo ourselves and others. And where are we going and what are we trying to get with that? So you essentially, your antidote to this is what you call sustainable ambition. So tell me about sustainable ambition and how you put this together, like how you figured this out.
That's a good question. Well, let me say, if I step back, one of the ways that I think about sustainable ambition is as a method, which is, I think, what you're alluding to. And part of my invitation with this for people is to become a bit more conscious about their ambitions and to manage them wisely. And I say by aligning the right ambitions at the right time with the right effort. And so, you know, part of this is, well, how did I come at that? Well, part of it is even just stepping back and saying, like, well, what are goals? What are ambitions in our lives? How do we think about that, right? These are these things that we desire, these things that we want to pursue, that we want for ourselves.
Right.
And they are activities that we are putting our time and attention against. And yet, like, we're right. And so that's like, what are the right ambitions? What are our ambitions and goals that we're pursuing? And how am I being discerning about how I'm putting that effort against it? I think about right time as a component of this by thinking about life and work integration. And that's really why I added right time into this method, so that people are thinking about, well, how am I pacing what I'm pursuing in my life? I think there are a lot of norms or like cultural societal norms that can impact us feeling like we need to do everything right away, all now.
And everything all the time, quickly. All at once.
All at once, exactly. And really quickly, right? And these things persist and it ends up driving us. It can drive us too hard. And, you know, I will just say, like, sustainable ambition, as I think about it, at least from my lens, I also don't mean it to be like, I want it to be a no judgment zone. Like, we're all wired differently. And I should say as well, like, that's why the term right is not to say that there is a right or wrong. It's really more that Goldilocks kind of right, which is, how are you getting this dialed in to be right for you? That component of it is really important.
Yeah. I mean, I think it comes across. I appreciate the clarification, but it does feel like, I'm assuming right time isn't like there is a right time. It's like right time for me. Mm-hmm. Why don't we take it one at a time? Talk to me about right. We'll hit the big one first. Right ambition. So you are saying, okay, well, let's be more conscious about what our ambition is, and I assume how we define it or identify it. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so right ambition is about getting really clear on what is meaningful and motivating to you. And it's shifting from being driven by solely external motivation, these external guides of what we should pursue, that should word, right? To aligning more toward our internal motivation. And it's not to say that external motivation is completely bad or wrong. Many of us have a value of being achievement oriented, right? Or I like to be achievement oriented, but to not solely align to those external norms, to find your own internal motivation to drive you. And part of my alignment here is that, you know, I say, like, ambitions aren't sustainable unless they're yours. Like, at some point, you pursuing somebody else's should, like, you're going to reject that at some point. You know, you're going to look up at some point and be like, what am I doing? Like, yeah. Do I even want this?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, what I'm really advocating for is like, motivate your own effort behind what you're trying to pursue. And even if it's something that you're like, well, my job is just a job. It's not my career. It's not my calling. It's like, great. That's fine. Why is it a job for you? Like, how does it still serve what you're trying to achieve in your life? You know, how does it serve your vision for yourself? How does that align to what your values are? But even in that, even if you just have a job, like, how do you make sure that you're not like, it's not drudgery, right? Like, how do you bring elements of still things that you value, that you love into where you're going to be spending a significant portion of your day?
As you're talking, right, and it's like the extrinsic, external metrics. Expectations is where we typically reflect. I feel like it's a very human thing to see what other people are doing or succeeding and model ourselves after that. And I think it's because that it's just easier to see someone doing it and saying, oh, that I want that. And so my question is, how do we, I don't think we can dispense, but how do we, is there a way to use those external models? And then also, how do we establish, how do we know what's, how do we use it as a tool to kind of integrate our own and create our own ambition?
Yeah, I love this because I think what you're pulling out is right and good to call out, which is it is very normal for us as humans to use societal cues or external cues as a guide for us. It's what we do. We look at externally.
I want to do that success. That's what I want. That is it, right? Like, that's what I want. That makes sense.
We're wired to look to our community to tell us, right, what's going to, you know, serve me to be considered a part of this community, right? And we are also wired to want to succeed. And so there is a natural tendency to this. There's also, there's different models of this, but there are adult stages of development. Development is not just for kids. So adults go through adult stages of development as well. And just to simplify two stages that I kind of stay focused on, one is, which are the middle two stages. Some models have five stages, some have four. I kind of just focus on these two, which is like the majority of adults live in what's called a socialized mind. And yet, at some point, many of us are like, I want to step into a self-authored mind. And so I share this just to say it's normal for us to use external guides as a cue to what we might want. But I think we are better served when we learn about ourselves over time. That's the other piece that's a component of us, right? A component of this, rather, is that we learn about ourselves over time. We don't always know everything that we want. We kind of have to learn into it, but it's helpful to still have agency and have a vision for where you want to take yourself and to, you know, take steps forward and then adjust as you move along. And so, you know, I do think that you can use these external cues as a guide. And I think where I guide people is to say, where can you find as much congruence or resonance with that external world? Like, where are you sparking to things that interest you or that, you know, that you have interest in, right? As opposed to just kind of saying, like, I'll take it to a simple like thing that many of us might be able to relate to, even though those listeners might not be in this stage of life right now, which is kids applying to college, where they're like, well, should I major in computer science or should I major in history? It's like, well, you know, do you like computer science? Do you like that kind of thinking? And does that align with who you are? And they're not necessarily thinking that way. They're just solely trying to match up with what they believe is required to be successful in this world. Now, that's not completely wrong. There's a reality that we do need to look at both of those. Yeah. But again, I think it's looking at that external world and looking for that spark, that congruence, that resonance.
Yeah. So conscious, I'm thinking through this like conscious approach to ambition. And what I'm hearing is look for things that spark and then interrogate what about it and not taking it wholesale. So that human, that's what I want. I want to be successful as like that person. I want to be a public speaker. I want to be a tech executive. I want to be a founder like that. And I think what I'm hearing is, what about that person and their path works for you? So take that piece and then think about why that works for you. And you're going from socialized mind to a self-authored mind. Is that correct?
Correct.
It's really compelling. So socialized mind means it's something that from the outside world. Self-authored is I'm taking the inputs, filtering them, and deciding for myself. It's a creative act, I think.
For sure. For sure. I actually have grown to believe, not to take us too far off, Josh, but I actually like I'm playing with this idea that that ambition and deciding on our goals, I actually think is a creative act. I think it goes through a creative process, but I'll leave that there. Yeah. It might be a separate conversation.
That's fine. I already tell that I think our conversations are taking tangents and I think that's not bad. Plus one to that. I am all about the power of creativity. Okay, right ambition. What do you see in the world? What does it mean to you? What does it spark? And then how do you integrate that into something that you can make for yourself? Right time. What do you mean by right time?
So right time is about really shifting from trying to do it all to doing what matters. And, you know, part of the lens, at least in the book that I really look at this through, is like thinking about your life and your work together and, you know, choosing where you want to put your attention, your effort, and your energy based on really what's personally important and matters most in your life and work now. And so I will say sometimes people can push back and kind of say, like, what do you mean I can't do it all? And it's like, look, my only advocacy, because like, we're all in choice here, right? And so it's just to say, if you try to do it all, what I advocate for, are you putting structures in place to support you to make it sustainable? Otherwise, oftentimes, the reality is time and energy are finite, and you will at some point need to make some choices.
Better to proactively make those choices than have those choices made for you.
Right.
A la some sort of, you know, God forbid, you know, like medical incident or even just like not being able to get up in the morning. Right. So I think we've all hit that mark. So that's good. Okay. So we're going to think about So let's just restate it or frame it in another way. What questions should I be asking about the things that I can take on? Is it the right time now? Like, how do I approach right time for myself and my process?
One of the things that I have people think about is the idea of, you know, what is urgent and for what do I have energy? So to do an analysis, these are just tools to think about, like, is this really urgent? Is this something that I should take on now? Is a priority now? And for what do I have energy? Because that energy is a cue to your motivation and whether or not you want to pursue it or even have the energy to pursue it. So that's one way of people being able to evaluate or discern, like, is this something I should prioritize at this moment? The other thing that I talk a lot about is pacing. And so I talk about, you know, determine what, you know, what do you want to go after and pursue now, near, and next? And so not to think again that it all needs to happen at this time, but what do you, you know, what is going to have more fidelity and or is just a priority for you to focus on at this point? And what are you going to put off to the horizon? And again, being thoughtful about making some of those choices. And not to say that it's easy, but that's part of how I help people think about some of making some of those choices. So a number of other tools and things that I think about in the book, but those are a couple of the high level ones.
Urgent and energy. How do you contend with things that take a lot of energy? I know what you mean. Like, I have energy for certain creative things. I was struggling with this last week. I'm like, okay, I want to create a course. But then I'm looking at, like, how do I do that? And I was just like, you know, like, I'm like, oh, man. I was like, I'm going to put that aside. Like, I don't know if I have the right energy for it now. Is it something I should do? I don't know. Maybe. Like, I keep saying I want to do something like that. How do you, the other piece would be my brother just joined an MBA program. So, right, I'm like, oh my God, I can't even, he's telling me all the things he has to do. And it's like, holy moly. I know it's not my choice, but I'm like, that is a lot of work. And so it's like urgent. It feels urgent. These things feel urgent, but I don't know that I certainly had that experience last week. The next week could be different for my own, you know, building this. But how do you contend with something that's important to do, but you don't have, you're not like, it's going to take a lot of energy, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a number of different strategies one can take if that's the case, right? So if it's, you know, because, and I think this is where you have to really check in and kind of see what's going on. So is it like, hey, I don't have the energy right now because I really do need to take some more time to restore myself. And once I restore myself, like, I will have the motivation and energy to pick this up, right? It could be, you know, because I literally just went through this too, Josh, and I actually pushed something off. And what I loved is that people came back and used my method, you know, with me. They're like, oh, it sounds like this isn't the right time or that there's the right effort for this. You're like, right,
that
now
sounds so smart. Like, where did you get
exactly
that?
Exactly. Yeah. We'll come back to it. Exactly. And so, you know, some of the things that we can do is like, well, how do I renegotiate this, right? How do I rethink? Oh. Right. So can I take that idea of like, you know what, I am going to do a course, but actually I'm going to do a course this way. How do you renegotiate what that ambition or that goal is that it requires less effort, you know, or it could be, you know what, I am going to do that, but I'm going to do the 80-20 and I'm going to put in 20% of the effort to get, like, I'm going to challenge myself to do sprints.
Yeah. Yeah.
For each component of this to get to the 80%, because guess what? The first time I do it, it should be 80% anyway, because it's a prototype,
right?
You know? So I think there's different strategies we can take to kind of think about how do I come at this differently when I'm facing some of those other important things. The other thing one can do potentially, just to throw one final thing, is, you know, I talk about four motivators in the book, and one of those is just intrinsic motivators. What do you love to do? So it's like, if you don't have the energy, it's like, okay, how can I add something I love to this task that actually is going to energize me in the moment.
That was,
right?
That's right. That was the advice a colleague of mine gave me, right? Like, for me, it's like creative, like visual design, or, you know, creating is something that I'm like always spending too much time on because I just love doing it. And so that was like, okay, how do you make this a creative task? How does that become important? Okay, so we're kind of started to bleed into right effort. So then talk to us about right effort. We talked about right ambition. We talked about right time. Now the third piece, how do we think about right effort?
Yes, so right effort has two components. One is about being discerning about the level of effort you're putting into your ambitions and goals. I don't think all ambitions and goals are created equal. And so are we being discerning about how much effort we're putting in? And then really importantly, it's about how do we manage our effort and energy so that we do have the resilience so that we can sustain our effort over time. So it's being thoughtful about both sides of those equations, or both sides of that equation, I should say.
Right. Different things require different amounts of effort. And so do I have to do these in order? Like, what's the, tell me about how you've sort of framed this up, because I I feel like that makes sense, right? Where it's like, I'm identifying a goal. Is this like, what do I need to do to move the needle? And how much effort do I need to put in it? It's logical. Do I have to do it that way? Like, no, like what, how else can I approach this? Maybe.
I find the method really flexible, and that may be good or bad for some people, right? But it's kind of like, you know, the book is written primarily with a lens to looking at across both, you know, our holistic life and work. Mm-hmm. And yet it can also be applied just looking at one like ambition or goal where you're kind of like, oh my gosh, this thing came up. Do I want, like what you're saying, do I want to do this course or not? Well, like, yeah. Is this an ambition that I really want to pursue? Or is this a should? I'm feeling I should do it. Is the right time for this? Like, what's the cadence of what's going on with my business? Should I fit this in now? Is it urgent and important? I don't know. And do I have the energy for it? Right. And so it then that brings in that right effort component. Like, do I have the capacity for this right now? Am I going to be able to put in the energy? And so you can use that to kind of determine, like, is this going to be something I want to pursue now or not? Now, having said that, I think you can also use each of these independently to even kind of, and honestly, that's how I might use it for myself, even where I'm checking in and I'm kind of like, huh, do I really want to pursue this? Like, does it align to my four motivators? You know, is it aligned to my vision, my values, how I want to give, what I love to do, you know? Or I might be struggling with like, gosh, how do I just want to pace my activities? Like, you know, I was literally just doing this weekend and kind of saying like, what is in my now near next kind of columns, if you will. Mm-hmm. Or other times it's just like, hey, I need to revisit my sustaining plan. And like, am I doing the things that are actually keeping me sustained right now? Or it might be looking at one thing that you're pursuing and kind of saying, do I have the effort for this? And I have three questions in the book that kind of give some guidance around how to determine your level of effort. So you can be looking at that as well. So I find that it can be flexible. And yet, as you said, these do interact, right? And they do mm-hmm. shift over time as well, which is an important thing I say in the book is this is a practice, right? Part of the reason work-life balance is elusive is because it does need constant attunement and adjustment and adaptation. And I think it does require some work, actually, to manage ourselves, given the complexity of our lives these days.
I think that's the message. You know, I'm going right back to one of the first things you said, which is like being conscious. You're knowing yourself, you're learning yourself, and you're constantly changing and the environment's changing. And so why wouldn't we have to also tend to this? And I cannot wait to get my hands on the book. I haven't read it yet, but it sounds to me like it is a resource guide full of tools to ask better questions so that one can make better choices about your own path. Is that fair?
Yes, very well said.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I love that because it's kind of like those quizzes where it's like, what kind of dog am I? But it's like, what kind of career? Like you get to ask some questions and you're going to essentially say, here's some tools that you can start to use. You can pick up this little thing and start to poke at the questions that you might have. And the assumptions, I think, is where if I'm thinking about kind of the meta message here, it's, you are all of this, all of what you've put into sustainable ambition is poking at assumptions that we've all made unbeknownst to ourselves, or at least for me. I'll speak for myself. I think I know a few people like that, but it feels like, how do you continue to ask these questions, you can only improve upon your own decision-making for your own self.
I think that's really well said. Yes.
Right ambition, right time, right effort. This is incredible. So the Sustainable Ambition Method, Kathy Onetto, who is a work strategist, you can learn more about sustainable ambition at sustainableambition.com. Her new book is out now, and she also has a podcast called Sustainable Ambition. Kathy, this is amazing. I really appreciate Well, I'm just sort of like in the middle of this. I'm like, wow, she's really clear about this. It's really, really appreciate how you're kind of asking the right questions. By the end, I'm like, of course, that's what you're doing. That's what you do. That's what you're good at, is asking great questions. And you've put them down for us so we can ask them ourselves. So I really, really appreciate you sharing it with me and with my audience. This is really, really interesting stuff. So thank you for asking questions on our behalf.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be in conversation.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays. And you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.